Good morning, folks. It's Luke Clayton, and welcome to Campfire Talk with Larry Wysoon and myself. Larry and I have been bringing Campfire Talk to you now for over 8 years, and trust me, it's as much fun today as when we first kicked it off. Campfire Talk is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Sitemark, maker of the Photon XT and the Photon RT, Kuby Sausage House and Wild Game Processing in Dallas, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, Larry's TV show, Dallas Safari Club's Trailing the Hunter's Moon, and Striper Express up on Lake Texoma. And folks, it is Campfire Talk. Our buddy Larry Wysoon is at the campfire with us. Larry, good morning to you, sir.
Top of the morning to you, sir.
This is a highlight here, getting to visit with you each week and all of our listeners. Larry, I'll tell you right now, I'll probably get 10 emails through catfishradio.org, 8 to 10 to 15, talking about the radio show. Many of them talk about, we really enjoy listening to you and Larry talk about hunting. So,
I appreciate that, because I kind of think you and I probably, you know, kind of enjoy that as well, too.
We do. You know, I want us to touch on a topic today, trophy hunting. Now, trophy hunting may mean different things to different people, but I'm reading for the umpteenth time Robert Rourke's book, Use Enough Gun, you know.
Fabulous book. One of my, you know, it was published after he died.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that is one of my favorite Rourke books. I've read a lot of his that he wrote about Africa and about African hunting and The Old Man and the Boy and all those other kind of good things. But I'll tell you what, that Use Enough Gun has always been one of them that I keep going back to and rereading, like just like you mentioned.
Yes, I bet both of us have read it, no telling how many times. It's just good reading. And
it
you
is.
Know, I read the part where he was talking about mostly, you know, hunting in Africa, but it applies to hunting anywhere, Larry. A trophy, you know, well, of course, now, if you kill an elephant, if you kill a impala, whatever, the meat is put to good use because the folks that live there are hurting for protein. I mean, it's not a question about what are we going to do with the meat. It's not a question about just a head on the wall. But what Robert Rourke was talking about, and I really got this from reading that many times, say you kill an animal over there. Well, the meat is put to use, whether it's in Africa or in East Texas, you know, I mean.
Exactly.
That's part of it. It's not just killing an animal to kill an animal, but it's the memories, you know. I can look back on, hunts from, we'll just say, for instance, you and I, when we were hunting down in Freestone County,
yes,
you shooting that buck. Well, it's not so much the buck that I remember. I do remember the buck that you shot, and just before he crossed the fence, you got him, you know. I remember that like yesterday.
Yes,
but what I do remember more than that is the good times we had, you know. So that's what, to me, that's a big part of the, quote, trophy, you know. It's the times that we get to spend in the outdoors hunting, or any time in the outdoors. Could be fishing. But that's the thing that really drives home to me is the experiences and the fun and good times that you share with, you know, family and friends.
You're right. You know, to me, every animal I've ever taken, and it's no difference whether it's a doe or whether it's a squirrel with a, you know, that we shot to eat or whatever. Every animal I've ever taken is a trophy, and a trophy to me is a means of remembrance. And unfortunately these days there's a connotation out there when somebody says, oh, trophy hunting, you know, you just shoot the best, and just all you do is take the head. And that's so unfortunate that people have come up with that idea, and where they came up with it, I have no earthly idea, because it is so far from being true. You know, like I said, every animal I've ever taken is a trophy, and the trophy to me is to help me remember. I've got antlers and horns and skins that I have that I've kept, and mounts, and you know, to me, those are ways of honoring the animal that I took. But I can look at those, not that I don't have memory of each one of those animals, but when I look at those animals, it helps me recall the minor little details. Just like you mentioned, that eight-point buck that I shot there with you, and I mean, he was about to cross the fence, and I remember everything about him. I remember getting him back home to matter of fact, I took them to where I grew up, and we cut them up there, and mm-hmm. I took as much meat as I could from it. And then but back then, I had a couple of uncles that were having some heart problems, and their primary food was venison because they could eat it because it didn't have cholesterol mm-hmm. and all those other kind of things, and it was very natural food. And so, to them, that was a trophy, too. It was a trophy experience, but a trophy meal. So the unfortunate thing is, as I said, these days when somebody says trophy, it has the connotation that somebody's going out there and shooting the animal, taking the head and the skin and leaving all the rest. And that is so far from the truth. I mean, every animal that's taken, like in Africa or even here in the States, I mean, my gosh, if you've got more venison you can take care of, there are all kinds of food banks. There are hunters for the hungry. There are all kinds of programs that can be gotten through Dallas Safari Club as well, too, and other organizations that help utilize that meat to the absolute total. And again, all that is trophy as far as I'm concerned.
True, Larry. Yeah, I thought that would be, I don't know, just kind of something that I was thinking about after reading that book. I thought, well, old Robert Rourke, I sure would like to have known him. I think I'd have got along pretty well with him,
I think you're right. I mean, I've read some of his books, and including some of the things that he wrote about the African people, like Uru and, mm-hmm. and a couple of those others of that era. But to me, in the Old Man and the Boy, those things were fantastic. Of course, he wrote a lot of those in short stories in Field and Stream many, many years ago. But to me, that favorite is the one that you mentioned, is the Use Enough Gun, and it tells so many different stories about hunting with people, and puts you, just had that unique ability to put you there right beside the people that he was writing about or the people that he was giving narrative to, while he was writing, and just one of those unbelievable writers as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sure as long as they're is game to hunt, and those of us that hunt game will always be reading that. I think one of the things that really prompted him on that book, and one of the things I remember reading, is the little 220 Swift, not knocking any caliber. I've never owned one, but a little 220 is probably a great smaller predator, gun, long range, flat shooting, but it's probably not the gun to have in Africa for anything,
And even though, I'll tell you what, in the hands of a good marksman, and that was one of the things that, we need to stress all the time, too, is that, your firearm, the capabilities of it, and you're with it. But that little 220 Swift was an absolutely fantastic gun for, like, some of the smaller antelope and gazelles that they hunted in Africa years ago, and that they still hunt. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that particular caliber. It's not the one that I want to use necessarily on a kudu or an eland or, some of the bigger ones, and for darn sure, not on some of the dangerous game. But they have a pretty cool little cartridge back in.
Oh, yeah, and it's still a neat cartridge, I guess, for what it's designed for, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Yep.
But I remember him writing about a particular warthog that he shot with that. Selby had given him that little 220, and I think it must have been a fairly new cartridge at that time, back when it was
written.
Yeah, and he'd give him that, and old Harry Selby, the PH, and he was just getting familiar, but it probably wasn't the ideal thing for a big old tough warthog, So that's the reason for Use Enough Gun, maybe. But that's some interesting reading. It really is, Larry. Gosh, you've got a busy, busy schedule here. I wrote down on the calendar some of the we've been trying to get together to get up to the Choctaw Hunting Lodge, get up there and do a little summer, and I guess maybe into July we can get that done. But
It's probably going to come down to the end of July. Here for too very long. I'm headed back to Africa. I didn't know I was going to go this year, but I'm going over to Shortly here to judge the Extreme Hunters competition. We're taking four of the ladies that have won that competition in the past, narrated those 10 that previously won down to four, and mm-hmm. we're taking them to the South Conservancy there in Zimbabwe, and they're going to get to hunt Cape Buffalo while they're there, and I guess we're going to try to come up with the ultimate Extreme Hunter.
Will the same competition that you've been doing for years, judging down in South Texas, will that take place, or will it be?
We're replacing it this year by taking the four of the winners from the past. We got a bunch of different people together and had those past winners provide us with what they've done since they've won and those kind of things. And ran this through, I think we had about probably 12 or 14 different judges. And out of those, we came up with what we consider to be the top four ladies. And so we're taking those top four ladies as previous winners. And then Olivia Nalos Opry will, who married Tom Opry, who came up with this concept a long, long time ago. Olivia and I will be the two judges, and the ladies will be hunting Cape Buffalo, as I mentioned there, in the South Conservancy. And fabulous place. I mean, it's an 800,000-acre conservancy, unbelievably filled with game. And actually, where I shot my first Cape Buffalo many years ago with a single-shot 416 Rigby. So I'm kind of anxious to get back and see how that country develops since I was there last.
Well, you'll be privy to a bunch of buffalo hunting then, Larry. You'll be there. I'm sure you'll be right there on every one of them, right? I mean.
Well, Olivia will take two ladies and I'll take two ladies, and there'll be a primary shooter, and each day we'll alternate so that we get to spend time with all of them. I got a feeling we're going to be in the buffalo numerous times during the time frame we're there, because when I was there, that buffalo herd had grown quite a bit. It started out that was fabulous game country. They moved in and set up a cattle operation, got rid of a lot of the competitive species, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That cattle operation went out of existence probably about 20 years ago now. And so they started bringing back in elephants, black rhino, buffalo, giraffe, and I mean all up and down. Of course, some of the things were always there. There's a lot of hippos, a lot of crocs, a lot of kudu and eland, and you know, all those kind of species that they really try to promote and perpetuate on that property the last several years. So it is a conservancy. It's owned by some people in Europe, and I think there's a gentleman from Russia that owns part of it as well too, as a part of that conglomerate, and they've done an absolutely fantastic job of bringing back the wildlife on that property. So when I was there, there were a lot of animals there, and again, like I said, that was quite a few years ago now. They have done nothing but just try to increase the habitat, improve the habitat for the big herbivores, if you will, and big predators like lion and leopard and all the other animals that are associated with Africa, that central part of Africa.
You bet. Well, when you get back, we'll want a full report, Larry. And there, I'm being told that we have exceeded our visiting. So, Trailing the Hunter's Moon, we want to mention that on the Pursuit Channel. Tune in to Larry and Blake there every week.
Yes, sir. And we're back almost into the third quarter. Mm-hmm. So those will all be brand new shows. Lots of whitetail there, lots of North American, a little bit of African stuff coming up.
Awesome, Larry. Well, you be safe in your travels, and we'll join everyone right back here this time next week, okay?
Already looking forward to it.
Folks, if you're a shooter, I need to hook you up with Hunter Supply. Now, Hunter Supply provides quality cast lead bullets for every facet of the shooting world, from target shooting to hunting. Hunter Supply bullets have been put to the test all over the world. They've taken a Big Five in Africa, as well as a lot of moose and grizzly bear in North America. Single-action cowboy shooters get their bullets from Hunter Supply, as well as air rifle shooters. You can go online to huntersupply.com and check them out. When you make an order, you need to be aware that the shipping is included in the price of the bullets.
Folks, for about the past 18 months, I've been using a Photon XT by Sightmark. It's a night hunting scope, and you can use it during the daytime, too. Absolutely awesome for hunting hogs. I probably killed 20 or 25 hogs using the Photon XT, and I shoot hogs at ranges of 100 yards and less. Now, it's not thermal. You won't be shooting 300 or 400 yards with it, but for most of us, and especially for the price, it is awesome. Now, the Photon RT is out now, and it has a camera mode sound on it. For a few hundred bucks more, you can get that model. I am just putting it to work, and so far I really like what I found. But just go to sightmark.com and check them out. Folks, if you're in the market for a new feeder, I want to hook you up with my buddy Carl Harmon that owns Ultramatic Feeders. You can go online to ultramaticfeeders.com or simply give Carl a call, 877-428-4637. Carl makes some awesome feeders. I've got one that I've had in the woods either 9 or 10 years, and all I've had to do is replace the battery about every 3 years on it. Again, that's ultramaticfeeders.com.